Hello once again and welcome to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast. I want to thank you for joining me, and I pray that when all is said and done that you feel blessed for listening in, and that the Lord our God will be lifted up, glorified because of what is said here today. Now, I want to take you on a journey. Don't get excited. It's not a journey into a strange area or an ominous situation, nothing like that, no. But it's the longest journey you will ever take. You will ever take. From the womb to the tomb. From the womb to the tomb. From creation to damnation. From creation to damnation, the fall of mankind. Okay? That's the title I've given my message today. So, we know the beginning, and, well, we know the ending. Or do we? Huh? The truth of the matter is, we don't know the in-betweens. We don't know what goes on in between before it happens. Do you? Are you one of those soothsayers? Or palm readers that you can tell what's going to happen the next month, next year, 10 years from now, are you? I pray not. We know the beginning because God gives us the beginning in His Word. And we know the ending because God tells us the end of the story, if I may call it that. Okay? You see, the truth is we really don't know the in-betweens. That's until they happen, of course. Now, let me ask you this. How are your in-betweens? How are your in-betweens? You see, your in-betweens are all that really matter to God. Because what you do in between the beginning and the ending will designate where you will spend eternity. Your existence from the womb to the tomb. Why? Well, because between birth and death, you are given a choice. A choice that is given to you from God. From God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you have trouble understanding the very first verse in God's holy book, then chances are you will determine that all that follows is nothing beyond a fairy tale. That's right. You'll think that. And your humanly existence, well, it originated from some, and I hesitate to say this, but some slime pit? Oh! Sorry, mothers. And hence, will terminate in like fashion. Or may I say, the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Now, you will note that God made our entire environment before He made mankind, right? And that the birth of woman was the final chapter in God's living creation. With all due respect to the ladies, although you may have been the final cornerstone in God's creation, may I say, could it be that God was saving the best for the last? Could it? Alas, alas. But before you savor too much, that a possible victory of sorts is in the offering. Let us go forth and determine God's complete plan. Complete plan for you, for me, for mankind. Okay? First, let us go to Genesis 1. Right at the very beginning, Genesis 1. And we'll go to verse 26. Perhaps the most important verse in the creation process. Perhaps it is. Okay? Okay, Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to there? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Wow. That's easy enough, isn't it? Oh, yeah. That's easy enough to swallow or understand. So God, verse 27, go to verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Have you got that? That's an important verse, verse 27. I'm going to repeat it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Which separates the man and the woman, right? Okay. So, the beginning of people, if you will. That's what we have, the beginning of people. But is it not a problem in today's world? Huh? Is it not a problem that woman should defy, or women should defy their creation? Huh? What do you think? Is it not a problem? Some have even said, not only is it silly, the creation of woman, that is, but it goes against that which is practical. And the very idea that women were made from a rib, and a man's rib, to make things worse, well, borders on ludicrous. That's what many think. Oh, we're going somewhere with this, ladies. Hang in there. Now, as I look around at this present world, this world that we so live in, the word defiance hangs in the air. Defiance. And then, but for a brief moment, the very world I see today, well, it has for the most part forsaken its birth. No longer is it survival of the fittest, but total ruination of our very existence. No wonder the male-female roles have gone awry, astray. No wonder are we living in a gender-neutral existence. No wonder are the little children confused by who they are, but more so than they're confused by what they are. The word of Almighty God has been totally, totally forsaken and butchered beyond all rationale. Beyond all rationale. Tell me, when did God's perfect plan become challenged by his very creation? When? Well, we must go back to Genesis again. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, and I want you to listen very carefully as I read verses 9 to 15. Okay? Are you listening? Verse 9, Genesis 3. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. That's what Adam said in response to God, although God knew where he was. Verse 11. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15. Listen carefully. And God continued to say now, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And finally, verse 16. Listen very carefully. Unto the woman he said, This is God now. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desires shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That last verse is a real stinger to womankind today, isn't it? It didn't used to be, but it is today. Equal rights, equal jobs. What happened to the home? What is happening to the home? I want to repeat verse 16. Can you bear with me? Unto the woman God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over me. And I don't mean to pound that into you. But those are important words. They are words that God gave us that we must understand. God made mankind. He made man, and then from man he made woman. Okay? If you can't understand and believe that in Genesis, however on earth are you going to understand the plan of salvation? I'm sorry, ladies, but that's what God said, not what I said. Okay? I don't want to read verse 16 over again, so I won't. Now, you get the message, right? I mean, this is not my words. I didn't contrive these and put them on paper. No. They're in God's holy book. You can see them. You can read them for yourself. Every ladies group in the world wants to find a Bible with this phrase. The phrase that says, And he shall rule over thee. They want to see it deleted, omitted, banished, cast out, destroyed. They do. Why? Because it tears at the very fabric of woman's liberation. It tears at her freedom. It tears at her equality. And it paralyzes her dominance over man, which is what women strive for today, unfortunately. And in some cases, you can understand because the way they are treated. Yes, you can. Hate me if you will, ladies. 'Tis not I who is your creator. Not I. 1 Corinthians 14:34 reads, Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now you're going to say, well, we're not under the law. No, we're not. We're under grace. So get saved if you're not saved, and come under grace, and then you will understand what God means. And add verse 35. And if they will learn anything, speaking of the woman, let them ask their husbands at home. Ooh. Who do we think they are, says the woman. What makes them more knowledgeable than us? I mean, I went to school. I'm a college grad with honors. How dare this be my life way? God's saying this. Man's not saying it. God's saying it. Let them ask their husbands at home. In other words, if you're out with your wife, you're doing some shopping with her, and things get a bit sloppy for you, word-wise, and you bring up something, perhaps about the things of the Lord, your husband should say to you, can we talk about it when we get home? That's the way it's supposed to be. Not argue in a grocery store aisle. That's not what it means at all. No, don't go there. God will not be pleased. Or in a church. It is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Friends, these are not my words. They are of the scriptures as given by God unto the Apostle Paul. Read them yourself. Now, while this may appear to be God's bashing of the female gender, it is not, and can only be received by women of faith. By women of faith. Ladies, let God be your judge. Let God be your judge. Should I apologize for my abruptness? I think not. I'm only reading what God has said. I'm not adding my own feelings here. Even if I should, I cannot. For in so doing, I would weaken the Word of God and cause it to be of none effect. That's what I'd do. And I have no intention of doing that. I would, though, ask that we look upon what Paul, our apostle to the Gentiles, has to say. Okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, concerning prayer and sobriety, let us begin in verse 7. Whereunto, Paul's writing this now, not me, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. In verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the woman adorn themselves, or women adorn themselves, in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, with shamefastness. Look up, I'll have to look it up, I guess, and sobriety. Modest apparel, with shamefastness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And verse 11, this is going to hurt a little bit, ladies. Let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. For Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And look at verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression, in the sin. She ate of the forbidden fruit. And finally in verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. My friends, it is imperative that the Word of God be adhered to, realizing its consequences are strong and binding and cannot be altered. Cannot be altered. Have you got that? Some of you will feel abased by the truths of God's Word. Oh, yeah, that's not what it says at all. Well, it does. Especially the female gender, for it is stern. It is stern and cannot be changed. Today's feminine believers must be strengthened through prayer, for their unsaved counterparts will be quick to rush them aside and give them another gospel. Do you see now what's going on? Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing, and hold fast to that which was first given unto the saints. You see, if you have trouble, ladies, accepting God's word as it was in the beginning, and you're looking for a compromise, then you're going to listen to those who are buried in compromise. There's lots of churches like that where they'll say, oh, don't worry about that. That's not exactly what it means. Well, it's exactly what God's word says. Ladies, it's up to you, not as a group, but as an individual, to pray, to give yourself over to God, and to help Him, not me, help Him to give you understanding that He should do so, and He will do so. This is not an attack on women. It's just something long coming that, as I go through my work each day, what message will I have for next week? I come up with it. It's there. It needs to be addressed. And God spoke to my heart and said, do it. I said, I'm going to have trouble. Women are going to hate me. He said, well, they hated me before they hated you. So there you have it. From the womb to the tomb, and everything in between. And that includes you. And it includes me. Ladies, do not think that this is a pick on woman sermon. This is a pick on woman sermon. No, it is simply God's own words being applied by way of the Holy Spirit. It is truth. It is from God. And it's for our admonition. If you have trouble understanding, go to your preacher. Go to your pastor. Ask him to explain it more fully than I have, and he will, if he is truly a child of the King. But don't go through life listening to your friends who are unsaved and saying, oh, that's hogwash. Don't believe that foolishness. God won't let anybody go to hell if there is such a place. Don't get caught up in that cycle. I assure you, there is such a place as hell. And if you don't repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. And once you're there, there's no return. No return. It's permanent, everlasting suffering in the fires of hell, where the worm dieth not. Ladies, I'd like to really apologize and say, I'm sorry about this message, but I can't, really. I can't. I know there's some areas along the way I did kind of fall in that direction, but I think you're the greatest thing that God gave to mankind. And I love my woman with all my heart. But I love Jesus more. So please, please, I beg of you, don't take this and run around with it and say, this nut is telling everybody this about us, ladies. Whatever you do, don't listen to his messages anymore, because I tell you, the guy's gone. He's out in left field somewhere and they're never going to find him. Say what you will, ladies. But the word I give you this day is God's truth. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that you'll tune in again next week. I promise you it'll be a different message. But again, it will be what God lays on my heart, not what I decide to tell you. In the meantime, thank you for tuning in to the Just Jesus Radio Network. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.